Dr. Arthur Tate. Thank you so much for coming in. Dr. Tate is the superintendent of schools for Davenport School District. We really appreciate your time today and just giving us a little bit of a story about you. So let's start with that. How did you get to be the Davenport School Superintendent?
Well, when I got out of school, mm-hmm. I went to the University of Miami. I was in ROTC there, Army ROTC, and I got a commission in the Army. So I decided to try that for a while. First 3 years, I absolutely hated it. And I ended up in Europe, and then I one day got a brochure that talked about Vietnam in the mail. It just came, and I had no idea where Vietnam was, but a week later I got orders to Vietnam. So that started a pattern of going to Vietnam, back to Europe, Vietnam, back to Europe, Vietnam, back to Europe. And by that time, I had a lot of time invested in the Army, and I really liked it then. So I had a career in the Army for 26 years.
No kidding.
And after that, I taught school for a couple years and started working on a doctorate in education administration. Then I got a job running a private military boarding school in New York State. And then from there, I became a public school superintendent. And this is my fifth district.
And you've been around five different districts. Is this your first one in Iowa?
Yep, first time in the Midwest.
First time in the Midwest. So East Coast, West Coast?
Yeah. New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
Wow.
And most recently, Arizona before coming here.
Wow. So you've really had the gamut of different cultures and the climate.
I have. Went from New England, which was pretty raw, to Arizona, which was really nice. And now the Midwest, where it's pretty challenging.
Yeah.
You know, people
standpoint.
Usually end up in Arizona. They go, right. they spend their time in the Midwest. They're like, we're going to Arizona.
Yeah, and I got that question. You're going to where?
Well, we're glad to have you, that's for sure. And we'd like to thank you for your service as well in the Armed Forces.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for your service there. We heard through the grapevine that you have a scouting background. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, started in Cub Scouting and went through the ranks in Boy Scouting and I am an Eagle Scout. I'm an Explorer Silver Scout, and I was in the Order of the Arrow. I'm a vigil member of the Order of the Arrow, and so that was my life when I was a young man. And once I became an adult, I just stayed in it. I had seven different troops because I moved around a lot, and everywhere I went, I was a scoutmaster. And worked at district level, district commissioner level, and I'm a silver beaver. So I've done a lot in scouting. I'm a 4-bead wood badger.
Really?
So I was a course director in wood badge also.
Wow.
Well, you definitely have the resume in scouting that we are totally surprised.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just kind of jotting some of the things down you have here, and unbelievable. You've definitely reached the higher ranks of scouting. What was it that drew you in as a Cub Scout to continue on and then want to come back as a volunteer and give back and provide the programming?
I think it was the excitement of being in a gang. It was a good gang. I just liked the friendship and fellowship and loved the camping.
Right.
And then the Order of the Arrow, it was the Indian mystique that drew me into that. And I'm still doing Indian things. My wife and I go to powwows. Make outfits. I'm a northern singer and a fancy dancer. So I just
wow.
never got out of it. And it's just part of my avocation right
That's
now.
That's really, really cool.
What was your Eagle project?
We didn't have to do projects in those days, which was very interesting. I got all the merit badges, went to a board, and passed it, so we didn't have to do
no kidding
projects. Yeah.
Wow, so that was early.
Yeah,
that was early.
Yeah,
there was. I know that there was, especially when scouting first started. Now that was in the 1910s, but it was a while before the Eagle badge, as it is today, was formed as as
prestigious
as
what it is. Yeah,
yeah. Because for a while it was, I believe, it was like Star Life and Eagle were all different awards you could achieve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when they say, like, there's this guy who was the first Eagle Scout, he could have also been a Life or a Star Scout.
Oh, that's interesting.
That might not be accurate, but that's what Like, I feel that that's, that I've read that somewhere.
Yeah, I think, somebody would be checking. I think I got my eagle in 54.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And what were the advantages? I mean, now, some of the things we tell the young men that are getting their eagles is, you know, that's something you can put on your resume. You know, and it goes much further beyond that. But you're not going to put, not mocking or knocking the athletics or anything, but you're not going to put varsity basketball on your resume to mm-hmm. get a job, unless you're going into athletic training or something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But this Eagle Scout is kind of universal. And
absolutely.
It displays leadership skills. And it's something that a lot of employers are impressed with. And
I've always put it on my resume.
And that's something, what I was going to ask you. Is that something
absolutely.
That you felt was necessary, that you've put it on there all the way through? Even in the military now, I know that you get a bump up in rank as an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. I know Zach, we
have heard that
him before.
Exactly. Yep.
He got a bump up in rank because he was mm-hmm. an Eagle Scout. So,
yeah. I remember when I got that badge, I put it on a uniform and hung it up and looked at it every day and went in to feel it to make sure it was real. Because it was important to me. It still is.
Wow. Now, of all the things that you've listed here, did you ever sit on an Eagle board?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I did in districts.
I could just imagine that with how much value you put into that Eagle Scout rank, mm-hmm. now giving back to those boys and being one of the final steps in achieving that rank for them. I think that's a really cool spot that we have within the district,
yeah.
in the dynamics.
I remember there was a program, I'm not sure if they still have it, Outstanding Eagle, where they recognized adults in districts,
mm-hmm.
and you had an annual banquet. I actually was the chair when I was at West Point of that banquet, which was pretty neat because you drew in all the Eagle Scouts from the area. And, of course, it was a great way. It was a fundraiser and to try to locate people and get contacts. But I thought that was good because, again, people really value that Eagle badge.
Right.
No matter how old they were,
right.
they were willing to come back and talk about it. And it was a good program.
I know Andy and I get invited to Eagle Court of Honors quite a bit on a regular basis. And it's really neat to see when the MC will stand up and say, can all the Eagles in the audience please stand up?
Yeah.
And there's always several. Always. Always. And even some of the older gentlemen, they stand up and they are very, very proud of what they've achieved. Yeah. You know,
when I was at West Point as a Scoutmaster, we had 7 Eagles at one time. We just kind of, you know, it came up. It was a great group of boys.
Wow.
And we all just kind of worked it together so we
right.
could do that. And that was a great, great presentation.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Davenport Schools a little bit.
Let's do it.
Well,
yeah.
really quick.
Yep.
Do you remember your vigil name?
Oh.
Oh, yes. Monagahi, Arrow Chief.
Wow.
Because I hadn't thought about it in a long, long time. Because I was the area chief and at the time, so when I got my vigil.
Yeah, I can never remember the Indian translation of my vigil name. but mine is Musical Camper. But I never can remember the Indian translation. Though I have like 3 or 4 friends where I can tell you what their Indian translation is.
You just can't
is.
Do your own.
Yeah,
you
like Mitch Leonard is Tente Tolpe, which is Fiery Turtle. And I know their, but I can't remember my own to
God,
save my
I
own.
I haven't been asked that in 25 years. It came from somewhere. Thanks for asking.
And then my other thing was, when you were a scout, so did you ever get a chance to go to Philmont or Jamboree as a youth?
I did not. I went to Philmont as a with a wood badge staff twice to Zastro, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah,
but no, I didn't go as a youth.
Because I know those things were a lot different, you know, back then. It wasn't necessarily that you could hop on an airplane and
mm-hmm.
you know and get there in
mm-hmm.
a couple hours or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And we had one guy from South Florida who went there as a ranger. He was that first ranger group. In fact, he was my father-in-law, best friend. He just passed away.
Mm.
But that was one of the greatest things he remembers is being that ranger at Philmont.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Davenport Schools.
Okay, yeah.
What are some of the cool things that are going on? We have a really nice, solid base of scouters in Davenport. A lot of good families here. What are some of the things that are going on with the schools?
Well, one of the most exciting things is what we call a district of distinction. We worked for a year to try to figure what would make us unusual, unique, and different. And so we've come out with 3 things which are models and which are we hope will draw students into the district and excite those that are here.
Yeah.
One is the Creative Arts Academy. You may have seen something about that. And these are Right now we have about 80 students involved. 50 of them are sixth graders, and they go to school at the library, the city library, for the morning, and they also use the Figge, the RME, and the Adler Theaters, and a dance studio downtown. So they are really just immersed in the arts.
That's cool.
Then the afternoon they go to Sedlo and do their combined mathematics, science, language arts, social studies there. We also have high school students, we call them dream students, and they go down for electives in the afternoon. And they're really put with artists, almost one-on-one as a mentorship situation. And these are people that want to do art either in college and get scholarships or for, you know, their life's career. So that's really, really exciting.
It is.
We have City High School at West High School, Career Institute of Technology and Innovation, and that's, they have academy, so you come in the ninth grade, it's kind of like having a major. So although you have to do everything all the other students do, you major in business and computers and engineering and medical and things of that nature. So it's really, you can declare this interest, and it can take you either to a job at the end or to a college, so it's career in college.
That's awesome.
Did you say that's at West?
That's at West High School,
Wow, that's cool.
At North High School, this is really the first year for City High and Creative Arts Academy, but this is the second year at North. It's called a dual graduation. So students who are really motivated and really want to work hard take courses so when they graduate, they get a diploma from a high school, but also Associates of Arts degree from Scott Community College simultaneously. So they walk across that stage and they get 2 degrees. So that's the kind of exciting things we're doing in the district, really just try to keep people interested in what we're doing here, because, you know, we have a kind of a hard time. We're competing against PV and Bettendorf and North Scott, and as an urban district, we have a little bit of a harder row to hoe, but
sure,
we're really doing a lot in our marketing to try to let people know what a great district we are.
Well, I know that through me being out in the schools, and Andy's been in the schools with me as well, especially in Davenport, you guys have top-notch administrators. I mean, you really, really do. People that care. And and you can tell that. Because when you walk in the building and they come up and they shake your hand, and they're not too busy to see you, they really, truly care. And it's really neat to see that interaction with... When I was in school, the principal, you knew where his office was.
Yeah.
And that was about it. You know what I mean? I saw him every once in a while. Maybe now you see the principals. They're out on recess duty. They're in the lunchroom. They know the kids. They know the kids' names, and that's fantastic. That is really, really neat.
Well, it's a culture of the district.
Yeah.
I mean, I spend 2 and 3 hours a day out in the schools. If I'm doing that, that gives them permission to do that, and they understand how important it is.
Right.
And the classroom, what's happening in the classroom is what this is about. So
right.
We are very dedicated to improving the instructional practice so our students can succeed.
Sure, sure. Well, real quick, I have a question. This is kind of a personal question I've got here. Just curious. Common Core.
Yeah.
My wife is a teacher out in North Scott. And how is that? Because I know that's just came about in the last couple of years. I think 2013 is when it was kind of implemented. But the differences between that and regular standards, is it basically now all these states are on the same playing field? As far
in a
as
way,
their standards.
In Iowa, we have the Iowa Core.
Right.
So it is the Common Core on steroids.
Gotcha.
It's a little bit more.
Yep.
And to me, it's just standards. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah,
you've always got to have standards.
Yep.
And whether they're common through the states, you read them, there's nothing I say, well, we shouldn't do that. I mean, we're talking
right.
about reading at a higher level, performing
yep.
at a higher level, being able to do rather than just regurgitate.
Yeah.
And it provides a way that teachers can say, here are the standards broken down, you know, day by day
right.
that I know everybody is doing and everyone should be able to do. So, again, it's nothing to be feared, and
right.
we just are kind of ho-hum. We're doing them, and
right.
and we find them useful.
Right, and that's
and nothing harmful.
She likes the flexibility because it lays you out there, but then you get to make it your own.
Sure.
And how you want to deliver that standard. And that's nice. I know that that's basically what the standards are there for, is for you to look at them and say, okay, how am I going to get my students there? And that the Common Core is pretty cool. So,
well, I know when I was writing lesson plans, I'm one who I like to be told, like, this is what your goal is, yeah. You know, and this is what you're going to accomplish. And I really liked having that laid out for me, you know, where I'm not, where it was a very, really, it's a black and white, like, this is what you're trying to accomplish at the end. But, you know, it's up to you to get that journey there.
Right.
But
we go a step further. Every room has got to have a student objective for whatever happens to be taught. So in elementary, you usually have one for reading and math. And it says, by the end of the lesson, I can.
Yes, yeah. An I can statement. Yep.
And it's supposed to be student-oriented. And it's taken us a while to get to that point. But what it does is help the teacher to say, if that's what they should be able to do, then here's what I've got to teach
right.
to get there.
Right, right.
It's good.
Yeah. I know we've talked to a couple administrators through our podcast, and I like to ask this question because I know you like what you do now, absolutely, but do you miss being in that classroom environment? You're out in the classroom again, you know what I mean? You said a couple of hours. Do you miss being able to deliver that instruction?
Oh, yeah. I was a math teacher, and I used to teach. Well, I taught at West Point Math, and then I taught AP Calculus in the schools and International Baccalaureate Math. Yep, I love it. That's great.
That's where I think the magic really happens. You know, when you see that kid and it clicks for the first time. And you had something to do with that.
Yep,
that's pretty special.
Exactly. Yep.
That's pretty special.
It's magical.
Yep. All right. Well, we've got our three questions.
Okay.
So our first question, we know that you probably don't have any too much free time. Well, what is your favorite current TV show?
Oh, wow. I do watch TV. You know, House of Cards. We're waiting for that to come back.
February 27th.
Yeah. And I guess that's the key one that we watch. We watch a lot.
Mm-hmm. So do you now the second season of House of Cards premiered? I got home from. I watched an episode before I went to work. Not the best idea. Because then the rest of the day I'm like. Because that first episode ended with quite like the cliffhanger. Yeah. And then when I got home from work, I watched the rest of the season. You know, and then when I was going to bed, like the sun was coming up. So I don't know if I have the ability to do that this time. But is that, or do you watch an hour at a time? Or
We watch several at a time, according to how much, you know, what's going
right,
on.
Right.
And we're always very busy. My wife is a teacher. She's also taking graduate courses. So she's always doing stuff, and I'm always doing stuff. So the TV's kind of background. And the other, Game of Thrones. I'm a junkie. Read all the books, and just trying to see the TV catch up with it.
Have you had a chance to catch the British House of Cards?
No, my wife has, and in fact, that's what recommended it to us, was she had done that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So she watched that before the...
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Now, you say she's a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Where does she teach?
Oh, she teaches at Central and Sedlow. She's deaf and hard of hearing teacher, special education.
Well, those people are saints.
Yeah, they are.
Those people are saints.
Yeah, she was a behavioral disorder teacher last year, so she's in the trenches. I call it special forces of teachers.
Our second question, if you could start all over and have your dream job, other than the one that you hold right now, what would you do?
Well, I always wanted to be a professional scouter. And the reason I didn't was I found out you had to move around to do that. And I grew up in Miami, Florida, so I'm never leaving here. Then I got in the Army and moved 20 times. So, yeah, but that's probably what I'd do.
You would probably have had less moves.
I know, I would have, but
so
you know.
Do you think that, like, today you'd be, if you were to take the scout path, you'd be living in Irving down in Texas and be, like, one of the top guys in scouting?
I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have made it.
That would be an interesting thought that, maybe I wouldn't have gotten that far.
Right.
With the,
yeah.
Right.
Wow. No, it's interesting. So our final question. If you could meet anyone, alive, dead, fictional, it can be anybody, and you're going to have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
The Buddha. And we'd have a vegetarian meal because I'm a vegetarian, so we'd probably eat some rice and maybe a little bit of greens, and that'd be it.
No wow. kidding.
Yeah.
How long have you been a vegetarian?
Maybe 10 years.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So do you find that there's been great health benefits after becoming a vegetarian from...
I don't know. You know, I feel great. It makes me feel better about myself.
That was one of Bill Clinton's things, was after he became a vegetarian, he was like, no, I feel better.
Yeah, I didn't do it for health reasons. I did it for more animal rights. And again, I was studying Buddhism at the time, and I just never went back to meat.
So the Buddha. So you've done a lot of studies on Buddhism, and you really would like to see what his take was on the world around us, right?
Yeah, I would.
That's interesting.
That's now, have you ever had a day where you're like, I could really go for a bacon cheeseburger?
Nope.
Never look back. You never look back.
I just don't. Even
I growing up, my best friend was Hindu, and he was vegetarian, and I was like, I'm going to try it out for a month. And then my dad and I went to IHOP, and I had a plate of eggs, which that doesn't make sense. With the whole bunch
without bacon and ham. And
my dad's eating like a strip of bacon, and I'm like, I'm done. I will have a bacon, please. Thank you.
Well, you know, they've got so many fake things now that are similar to it.
Really, you don't really miss it, right?
No, you don't miss it. I never think about it.
Well, Dr. Tate, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. I think that there's going to be a lot of people that are interested. We had no idea you had such a scouting background. And besides that, you're very interesting. Your background is very, very rich. And I know a lot of people like to know a little bit more about you. So I'm hoping a lot of people listen to this.
Well, before we leave, what's the one moment in scouting that you'll always carry with you?
Wow, what a great question. When I was a Wood Badge course director, I had my father come and play Baden Powell at the final campfire.
He was dressed.
We made an outfit and did all the ribbons and everything to make him, and he looked like Baden Powell. There was no doubt. So I remember that probably best of all.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. It was great talking with you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for your interest. Cool.